I was a little tired a couple minutes ago and feeling kind of stuffed and lethargic and fat, and I sat down there and I was like, wow, I need some energy. This has been a little bit of a day here, and I feel different after singing those two songs. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, I feel different. I feel better. Singing is so good. And the singing, singing is good in general, that's what I meant, but that singing was really good. That was very uplifting and very strengthening. And I'm very glad to be with you this week. And I know that we have some who are visiting from other congregations this week, this evening. Very glad that you're here too. That's an encouragement to me. I'm sure it is an encouragement to those who are regular members of this congregation here. We're grateful for your support, for your voices blending with ours in song tonight, and for your interest that you show in spiritual things. We're working on a couple of different series this week. I am working on a series on pursuing the character of our Creator, the pursuit of godliness, and Andy has been working through a series on the subject of the armor of God. And I've been very interested to hear the things that he has had to say, and it's been a very enjoyable change of pace for me to be a part of something where I can actually sit and listen to someone else too, and that's been very, very good for me. And I hope that you have enjoyed, those of you who have been here have enjoyed what we've been doing so far and have gotten something out of it. On Wednesday night, I spoke on the subject of our need to learn progressively, increasingly, as our lives go on, to see more like how God sees. Obviously, we can't see all of the things that God sees, but God expects us to learn with the time He's given us how to see what we can see in the same way that He does. And that arms us against a lot of things. It steals us and protects us against believing things that aren't true. And then last night, we kind of shifted away from how we might be more like God and just spent some time talking about God's character, that our God is a God of truth and justice. And we talked about some of the things that that means, and the confidence and the peace and security that that should instill in us so that we can trust our God. And when we read something in His Word, regardless of whether we like it or find it to be easy or palatable or convenient or not, we can trust Him. We can tell ourselves, and certainly we've all had that experience where we have learned something of God's expectations of us and reacted to that in this way. Man, that's hard. And maybe we know good and well that it's going to be harder for us personally, that it might be for some other people. And it's tempting at times to think, well, nobody else knows about it, and it's a really hard thing, and it hurts me. I know that, but it doesn't really hurt anybody else. So maybe God will be okay with it. God is not. God is not okay with us negotiating with Him in that way. And it's just a dumb thing for us to do. When we learn of God's will, the wise thing is to do our absolute utmost to incorporate that into our lives, to yield to it, to submit to it, and to appreciate God's goodness and the perfection of His view of things and His perspective. Tonight, we're going to go back to that idea of how can we be more like God. Tonight, we're going to talk about loving what God loves. Tomorrow evening, we're going to look at the other side of the coin, and that is hating what God hates. Maybe you've never heard a sermon on how much we're supposed to hate some things before, but we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to give hate a little love tomorrow night. So that's what we're going to do. Hate gets kind of a bad rap. It serves a purpose. It has a place as long as we understand what we should hate and why we should hate it. And then on Sunday morning, we'll be talking about being where God is. And on Sunday evening, I'll be talking about how important it is that we learn how to want what God wants. That we learn to desire the same kinds of things that He desires. In order for us to talk about loving what God loves, I feel like it'd be good to spend some time talking about what God means when God says love. because love is a word that gets abused quite a bit in the English language, and when people in the world around us use the word love, they mean all kinds of things. Some people think today that the only way you can express your love or manifest your love for another person is by simply agreeing with everything that they do and everything they believe. And we see that in instances in which you might say with somebody what you're doing is wrong, it's sinful, it's destructive, it's going to hurt you, it's going to hurt those you love. God says it's a sin, and their response would be, that's really hateful, you know, for you to judge me in that way, for you to tell me what I'm doing is wrong. If you loved me, you wouldn't say such an awful thing to me as what I'm doing is wrong. And so a lot of people in the world today, they use the word love to mean you must agree with everything I say and do and all the things that I live out in my life. You must agree with everything that I am. Otherwise, you obviously hate me. But any parent knows that's not what love means. I mean, just imagine your children saying that to you, and your children maybe have tried to say that to you. You know, Mommy, Daddy, if you loved me, you wouldn't stop me from doing anything I wanted to do. You wouldn't get in my way. You wouldn't challenge me. You wouldn't offer any restraint. You wouldn't keep me from doing things that, if you loved me, you would never stand in opposition to me. Isn't that what love is? Well, that is a very childish idea about what love is, and it's a very popular idea in the world today about what love is. That love means get out of my way and shut up. That's what love means. That's not what love means. That certainly isn't what God is talking about when God is talking about love. But there are also people who, when you use the word love, you know, they think about love in pop culture, love in love songs, love in movies, highly romanticized, noxiously emotional. Love is passion. Love is infatuation. Love is our physical relationship. Love is those things. Love is what we feel, and it's all about how we feel. And marriages fail when people think love is all about what we feel. And marriages fail when two people get married because of the way they feel about each other. And they mistakenly think that their marriage will survive because they will always feel the way they feel on the day that they decide they're going to get married. Love will see us through. Love is all we need. Love will help us survive. And they're talking about that feeling. I can't fight this feeling. You know? It's that overwhelming emotion that we have inside us when we are infatuated with somebody. That's love. That's not love. It's not. I'm not saying love doesn't have emotion in it, but people who get married believing that they are always going to feel the way they feel when they decide to get married, and that's the thing that's going to preserve their marriage, and all of the relationships and marriages that fail around them were because those people didn't feel about each other the way we feel about each other. We feel different. We're special. Our feelings are stronger. Balderdash. I didn't look that word up. I hope it doesn't mean something profane in another language. That's not why marriages survive. Marriages do not survive because that's what love is. That's not what love is. Love is not the things we feel. We feel all kinds of stuff. Love is what we do. Love is when we don't feel like being nice to the person we have committed to for the rest of our lives, but we are nice to them anyway. When we make sacrifices, when we give up things that we want so that they can have things that they want. Love is what we do. And I would contend that when we read about love in the Bible, that's exactly what God is talking about when He talks about we should love Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Do we read that as God commanding us to feel something? I have before. When I was younger, I would read that and I would think, I love ice cream. I love my dog. I have these strong, you know, emotional attachments to these things. I love my parents, and I love the Cubs and the Bears, and I grew up in Chicago, so that's where that nonsense comes from. I would think about things that I felt very strongly about, and it worried me as a child that God was commanding me to feel a certain way about Him, and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes when I was really brutally honest with myself, I thought to myself, there are a lot of things that I feel that way about, but God is so far and so big and so strange and so mysterious and so powerful. And so, I mean, in the mind of a child, He was very theoretical too. It takes a long time for a concept that big to be something that's concrete in the mind of a child. And it scared me to think that God was commanding me to feel a certain way about Him. And if I didn't feel that way about Him, then I couldn't possibly be pleasing to Him. That horrified me. It really did. And all of the commands where God said, love this or love that or love me or love your fellow man. And I would think, I don't know if I can. I don't know. I want to feel that way about God, but there are times when, if I'm being honest, I feel that way about things that are right in front of me, and God is kind of an abstract. There's more detail in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God. Now, I could do that as a child. God, for His power frightened me. The things that I read that He did, that was a fearful thing. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I was on that train. You know, I bought into that idea. The whole fearing God thing, I got that. I struggled with the loving God thing. But here it says, God requires of you that you fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him. And in the very next line, and I think this is tied to loving Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. It's a very direct connection here that God draws for those whom He was commanding, that loving me means serving me with all your heart. You take your heart and you use it in service to me. Our heart is the thing where we really make our decisions and our choices. Our heart is the place where we ponder and consider consequences, and we think about what's going on, and we decide what we're going to invest ourselves in with what God has given to us. God has given us time. He's given us energy. He's given us some years of life. God has granted us a lot of things, and it is in our heart that we decide how we are going to spend ourselves. Our time, our energy, our resources. And He says, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And that connection is strong there between loving Him and serving Him. And that's a theme that runs all throughout Scripture, that God reads our love or sees our love, not nearly as much in how we feel, but in what we do. And God sees love when we don't want to do the things that we know are right, but we do them because they are right. That is submission. That is trusting God. That is yielding to God. And I would submit to you that that is loving God. That at the times when serving Him is hard, at the times when trusting Him is hard, we do. When despite what we feel like doing. How often in the course of the day do we feel like doing something we know we shouldn't do? Well, you know, that's an individual answer for all of us, but I would say at a minimum it happens to me at least several times a day where I feel like doing something that I shouldn't do. Or I think about saying something that I shouldn't say. My reaction to what I'm hearing or what's being done. I bite my tongue. The tongue, the rudder of the ship, the fire that rages within us, the thing that no man can control, the tongue. I bite that thing all the time.
Stop it. Get back in your mouth. Don't tell him.
Well, that's an instance in which I feel like doing something that I do not do because I believe it would not be pleasing to God. And what I am feeling that minute is not like I'm not feeling like picking God a bouquet of flowers and writing poetry for him. What I feel like is saying something that I shouldn't say. But because I fear God and I trust him and I want to be in submission to him, I do not do what I feel like doing. And do you know that that's when God sees our love? When we wrestle with ourselves, when we buffet our bodies to bring them under subjection, when we fight with our flesh, because our flesh has appetites that God has put in a context and that need to be restrained. We tend to read the word love primarily as an emotion, but all throughout Scripture, God equates love with action. John 14:15. We probably know this one by heart. If you love me, write me poetry and pick me a bouquet of flowers and maybe prance around in the field with some unicorns. And I like that. If you love me, keep my commandments. And a lot of people like to talk about how they love God, but they don't like the second half of that. I do love you, God, but I don't want to keep your commandments. And as I said before, my suggestion is not that love doesn't have emotion in it, or that it shouldn't have emotion in it. My suggestion is that God does not regard love to be as simple as just an emotion or a feeling, but instead something that's deep down inside of us. Love is a choice we have made. It is our foundation. It's our anchor. We have anchored ourselves to something when we have decided that we are going to love. Marriages that survive because you have two people who have decided that they are going to love each other, despite how they might feel sometimes about each other. That's how marriages survive. Love is the thing, the main truth. It is the strongest desire within us. It is the thing to which we always submit. If love is just a feeling, if it's an emotion, if that's all it is, then it's also a very, very deeply subjective thing. And what that means is that it means something different to everybody. Everybody has their own definition of it. Everybody has their own picture in their mind when they picture love. Everybody would describe it in a different way. That's why there are so many love songs. What did Paul McCartney say? You'd think that people would have had enough of silly love songs. I look around me and I see it isn't so. I'm sorry. I gotta stop that. Well, people haven't had enough of silly love songs. They keep writing them and they keep getting it wrong. What love is, what it means. Love is a trust. It is a yielding without reservation. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, it is serving with all your heart and soul. That's what God desires from us. Despite how we feel, God wants us to yield and to trust and to serve. And it is in those things that our emotions will come in line. We prove, Romans 12:2, we prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God as we are transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, and prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And the transformation is hard. The transformation is us doing what we're supposed to do, even when it doesn't feel right or feel good, or we're afraid of the consequences. And we do that, and we discover in the aftermath that it was the right thing to do. Doing what is right proves itself. That doesn't mean that the immediate consequences are always fun or pleasant. But that years down the road, if we spend 15 years dedicated to doing what is right, regardless of how we feel, 15 years down the road, we will look back and see the wisdom of the right choices that we made in submission to this God. Even though we didn't want to do some of those things. And they were not our instinct. And when that person ran us off the road into the ditch and caused us to damage our car and then turned around and came back and rolled down their window and shouted obscenities at us and made an obscene gesture, and we looked down at the seat next to us and saw the pipe wrench, we didn't hurl it at them, even though that's what we felt like doing. Emotions are the wrong engine for the train. That's the wrong engine. Loving God is much less about what we feel than it is about what we do. There are a lot of other passages that use that language, all your heart. Do this with all your heart. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart. Those are two we've already read in Deuteronomy 4:29. You will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. This whole thing really is about, my whole series is about seeking God, seeking his character in pursuit of the character of our Creator. We want it for ourselves. We will find him if we seek him with all our heart. That means to do it with determination, with focus. We focus on one thing, and that's all we're going for. I don't care about what's out here. I'm going for that. Right now I'm focused on the crack in between the two doors back there. It's all I can see. I've got some peripheral awareness of you all. But I'll tell you what, if you guys tried to stop me, if I hopped over this podium right now and decided I was going out between those two doors right there, well, Paul might stop me. Knowing what I now know about Paul. But the rest of you, if I were determined, it's that kind of focus. God says, seek me with all your heart. Focus on that. Deuteronomy 26:16, this day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments, all of the things that he laid out for them. We talked about that last night in Deuteronomy, a lot of laws and a lot of statutes, and here are the kind of people I want you to be. And Moses says, the Lord commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. You shall be careful to observe them with all your heart. That means with focus and determination and passion. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 2, return to the Lord your God. Obey his voice according to all that I command you today. You and your children with all your heart. What are we doing here with all our heart? Let's trace it back. You and your children, I command you today according to obey. There it is. Obey his voice with all your heart. These are the things that God wants us to do with all our heart. And it is in these things that God sees our love. Trust the Lord. Proverbs 3:5. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The world's perception of what love is, the common treatment of love in the world, is a love that is expressed and felt, but rarely produces any significant action or any positive change. I love you just the way you are. Well, you know, people say that sometimes, but it's never true. That's never true. I said that. Said that to my eye, look, just the way you are. And 3 years later, you know, I was like, boy, there's a lot of stuff needs change here. No, I didn't say that. Anybody who's honest and has been married has found out some things after they got married that they wished were different. You know what? Love should change us. If we understand what love really is, it will change us. Because it is through love, submission, obedience, trusting, seeking, serving, yielding to our God. That's love. It is through that that we become more like God. It is through that that we learn the beauty of His wisdom and the perfection of His perspective, the way He sees things. If we would do it, not for a week or a day or a month, but if we would commit to it and focus on it and say, that's where I'm going. I'm going to a place in which I instinctively, when I learn God's will, I do it. And if we focus on that, we eventually get to a place where we love it. In the way that the world uses the term, we actually have an affection for God's Word because we have proven it to ourselves. We have seen God's wisdom in action. And it's so important for us to commit to it in order for us to accomplish that. And I get so sad for people who make very half-hearted commitments to anything, really, but to something like a marriage or something like their faith. They become Christians. They say the words, and maybe they really do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They are buried with Him in baptism. They are immersed to have their sins washed away. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, I'll do this as long as it doesn't cost me this or this or this or this or this. You know, at this point in my life, you know, it's something I need to do, and we'll just see how it goes. They've got that kind of a thing going. I'll just see how it goes. And they're not focused. They're not committed. They are not loving the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. And so they half-heartedly or two-thirds-heartedly or three-fifths, I don't know what the next one is, seven-eighths, commit to it. But then eventually they come across something and they're like, well, I didn't know it was going to mean this. I didn't know God was going to ask this of me. And that might be a year or a month or 10 years down the road. And they have served God for a while and there hasn't been any real conflict. Nothing difficult, and they discover that God requires of them something that's really going to be hard. And they're like, hey, you know, I didn't know about that. I didn't sign up for this. I had somebody say that to me once that was struggling. They were trying to do the right thing, and it was causing some difficulty in their life. Some problems in their relationships with members of their own family that were worldly, and they were being mean to them. And the Christian said, I didn't sign up for this. And I said, yeah, you did. You did. The Christians that became Christians in the first century knew what they were signing up for. For many of them, it meant that they were going to be chased from their homes or persecuted. Or tortured. Or killed. They were committed. They didn't feel like being tortured. They didn't feel like being killed. They didn't feel like losing their friends. They didn't feel like any of that stuff. They didn't want any of that. But they did want God. And they were willing to do whatever it took to get Him. God wants that from us. That's love. Not what we feel. It's what we do. It's what we commit to. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That frustrated Jesus. These people who like to say they love God and talk about how they love God and dress like they love God and go to places where they were around other people who like to talk and dress and act like they love God. And Jesus says, these people honor me in all the visible external ways, but their hearts are far from me. They didn't love Him. They weren't willing to do any of the hard things. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord? Lord. And do not the things which I say. That's a curiosity to God. That's a puzzlement to him. Why do you call me Lord, but do not treat me as Lord? He's not talking about what we feel. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And if you were to ask these people that Jesus was posing this question to, ask them how they feel about God, and they would certainly say, well, of course I love God, and I love Him with all my heart. And many of them probably believed that. But there was no translation in their mind. There was no connection between how they felt about God and what they did. They felt close to God. They felt like they loved Him. And Jesus said, why do you feel that way? Why do you call me Lord? And then do not the things which I say. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who... I'm tempted to interject the whole flowers and poetry and prancing in a meadow with unicorns thing, but I won't. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you see how this is all over the place in God's Word? Love is what we do. Many will say to me in that day, Matthew 7 and verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, because they did not do his will. They did the stuff they wanted to do. And they felt like they were loving God. But they were not submitting to Him. They were not yielding to Him. They were not trusting Him. When God tells us we have to love Him with all of our hearts, what He's really saying to us is we must, to be pleasing to Him and to be like Him and to be with Him, we must yield regardless of how it feels. And we know sometimes it doesn't feel good. Our feelings are hard. Our emotions are tough. We wrestle with our feelings. They're often difficult to bring under control. Our desires, our passions, our emotions, we wrestle with those things. And we're in good company. So did Paul. Paul wrestled with his feelings and his affections and his appetites. Paul wrestled with what he wanted to do versus what he knew God wanted him to do. And Paul expressed his love in doing what God wanted him to do, despite what he felt like doing. Loving God with all our hearts, it doesn't mean that we're lost if we don't feel a certain way all the time about God. We can fix the way we feel simply by doing what we're supposed to do. And so the right way to approach this, I want to feel passion for my God. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Have you ever sung that or read that and thought, I would like to feel that? If you want to feel that, yield, serve, obey, and commit to those things. That's what it means to love God. And you might be surprised what that does to your feelings. And I would offer the same advice to a marriage that is in trouble or struggling. If you want to feel the way about your husband or your wife that you did when you got married, on the day that you committed, when your hearts were all aflutter and everything was... If you want to feel like that, start doing the things you're supposed to do. Start treating your spouse like they are your favorite person in the whole world. Start sacrificing for them. Start yielding to them. That's the best thing you can do for your marriage if you want to feel those things. If two people that don't like each other anymore, but they're in a marriage and they're miserable, will do the things they're supposed to do and commit to doing those things and stop talking about divorce as an option and stop considering that and commit to doing what is right, both of you, you might be really surprised how you feel about each other in a very short time. That has the power to fix our feelings. What we do, that has the power to fix our feelings. I want to desire God in the way that David expressed. I want that. I hope you do too. But that's only possible if we're willing to trust Him and submit to Him when we don't feel that way. God demands our loyalty. He requires our trust. We must obey. Our strongest emotional responses, those are going to be all over the place. But God does have to have our strongest loyalty. Trust and obedience will increasingly bring us to the point of feeling that way about God. Very quickly, that's all the stuff that I had to say about what God is talking about when God talks about love. And now I want to talk about loving what God loves. You know what God loves? God loves us. He loves you, and He loves me. He loves everybody who's not here, everybody who's out there around us. God loves His creation. He loves humanity. He's painfully disappointed by us sometimes, but He loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13 says, "Beloved," you knew that one I just read, that's why I didn't mention it. You all know that one. The guy with the multicolored clown wig that sits at the games with the sign. It's John 3:16. 1 John 4, 7 through 13. "Beloved, let us know one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Keep in mind what God is talking about when God is talking about love as you read through these verses. Don't lapse into people speak on the subject of love. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." In love, God did. In love, God acted. In love, God served. In love, God sacrificed. In love, God did these things. "In this is love," verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4. "Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." What does that mean, to love one another? Is that talking about how we feel? It's talking about what we do. And God's love is perfected in us through what we do. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Loving what God loves should be a natural result of loving God. Loving God equals yielding to God and serving God. Serving God equals loving the truth. Loving the truth equals yielding to the truth. Serving the truth or yielding to the truth, that means loving one another. And loving one another means yielding to one another. So, we've got work to do. Loving God is work. Loving each other is work. We can actually love each other without liking each other. But if we love each other in the way God tells us to, the chances are, sooner or later, eventually, we're going to like each other too. That's everything I've got for you tonight. Thank you for your kind attention.